Yep. Gimel Kislev, Tuesday the 25th of November, Rabbi Joseph Perlman, the naming process.
Right, good morning. The topic was chosen because of the Sedra, in which you've got the 12 Shvatim, well, not all the 12 Shvatim named, Binyamin comes next week, but the Shvatim are named, and there is a beautiful reason for each one as to why they got their name. And similarly, we know that the others had names which were relevant to their life and their future. The question then arises as to when we choose a name for our children, what are the principles in doing so, and how do we do it? Now, this is a vast topic, a very, very important topic, and it is full of machlokas, as usual, different opinions, different shittas, and as always, the final rule is you follow the minhag, you follow what you your parents did before you, and you follow the general rules. But so I'm not going to say anything definitive. It's all minhag rather than sort of strict halacha, although minhag is strict halacha. And there are numerous questions which we can't possibly go into. Svarim have been written on it, and it's a very, very important topic, a very emotive topic as well, because it can create very great friction in mishpachas as to what name you choose and so forth. So I've written a few thoughts down on the notes, and we'll perhaps just quite go through them and see what we can come out with. You see I've written down that there are very numerous questions regarding the choosing of the name, and I've set out the problem. Let's just quickly run through the problems. First of all, who has the right to choose? Who can tell you that this is my child, I want to give it a name? But what would happen if your wife decides she wants a different name? Who has the right to do so? Now, you might think, well, that's a very simple question. The husband has the right, of course, and he's the boss, and he should have the right to choose. However, we see from Chumash it wasn't quite like that, because we find in certain circumstances that the mother actually gave the name. So we need to be quite sure as to who has the final say in the matter. And like many things in life, the usual thing would be to have common sense and to try to come to a pshara and try to do things amicably, as we'll see as well. Then the question arises, at what stage of life do you give the name? Well, we have the minhag, we give it before, at the bris. It's actually after the bris is done, immediately you get the name immediately after the bris. What would happen if there was a delay in the bris, say, or the beis of mach masmila, and therefore you can't give a name immediately at the bris, and maybe the bris might be postponed for 6 months or whatever it might be. What would the correct time be for that? Similarly, with a girl who doesn't have a bris, we have the minig to give the name on the Shabbos and Kriyas HaTorah. Other people have the minig to do it at the first Kriyas HaTorah. Other people have the minig not to bother at Kriyas HaTorah at all, just to call the name. This depends mainly on minhag, but as far as the boy is concerned, I think the minig is more or less universal that the bris is the correct time for giving the name. But what's more problematic is, what name are you obliged to choose? Have you got a free choice, you can just choose any name that you fancy? Or are there strict rules that you've got to call it after a parent? The Sfardim would call it after a parent even if they're alive. The Ashkenazim will not call anything after a live person. But what happens if you've got two grandparents, the mother's father and the father's father? Well, there's a famous vort, which is actually mentioned, I think, in the Mishmer Sholem, which says that the reason why Nadav and Avihu died was because, one of the many, many reasons given, I think I catalogued about 30 reasons given, which is an indicator that nobody really knows. It's like the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu. I think somebody catalogued 100 different sins which they thought Moshe had done. And then one of the Acharonim writes, he says, we made Moshe into a great Rosh if you find 100 sins which he did. But the answer is, of course, we haven't a clue what his sin was, because as far as he was concerned, what was a sin legabi Moshe would have been a big mitzvah for us. So we can't really tell. But one of the reasons given for Nadav and Avihu is that Nadav was the name of his father-in-law. If you think of Aaron was married to Elisheva Bas Ami Nadav, and when Aaron called the first son Nadav, it was really after his wife's father. And the second one was Avihu, this was called after my father. And because he got it the wrong way around, there was a kitrug min ha-shamayim that he'd chosen his wife's father in priority to his own father, and therefore they both died. Now that sounds quite strict, doesn't it? But that actually is given as one of the tamim that they passed away, and therefore it becomes very important to make sure you get the right priority, which would indicate from there that the right priority is to call after the father's father in priority to the mother's father if not both available. However, the Litvish minig was very, very often the other way round. It's well known that in Litter, the first boy to be born was called after the mother's father. And the reason for that was that because there was the minig that what was called kest, that means that the son moved in with the wife's family, and the wife's family kept the people in learning. Not all that different nowadays either, that they kept the son-in-law in learning. Therefore, he was in the father-in-law's house a great deal, and the father-in-law had actually kept him in learning. Therefore, als hakoras hatov, if the father-in-law was not, and the father were both passed away, they would choose the father-in-law first because of the hakoras hatov inyan of the fact that he'd been kept. So we see that these rules are not written in stone, they are actually worked out according to the circumstances. But what we do also see from the story of Nadav and Avihu, you've got to get it right, because if you get it wrong, it can be quite a serious kitrug on the name. Then there's also, of course, the famous Ramban on Chumash, and in connection with Yehuda, it was Bechziv Beledis and so on. Really what used to happen was the father had the first choice, the mother had the second choice, and then it went back to the father for the third choice. But the father wasn't available. In the case of Yehud, he was away somewhere. And because he was away, they had to be called, it was Shelah, wasn't it? He was called the name which the mother gave him. So the Mephoshim learned from there that there was in fact a sharing out of the naming process, whereby the father has the first one, the mother has the second one, and the father the third one. So there are rules, even as I say, the rules can be bent and they can be have to work according to the circumstances. So the question of priority is actually a very interesting one. I mean, we talked about parents and parents and all, but what about others? Do you call it after Mishpocha first? Which members of the Mishpocha have priority? That is all up for discussion. The next question is, what names must you avoid? There are certain names which you do not give. You know, it upsets me very much when you have a child in Eretz Yisrael called Nimrod, or you've got a child called Esav. You do find this. So the answer is, we have a rule, Shem Rishon Yirkov. The Gemara actually talks about this, so I've made the references here. The Gemara says, be very careful in choosing a name. The Gemara says in Brochas Dav Zayin Amud Beis, I've jumped to the references below the questions. Minolon dishmo gorim. From where do we know that the name has an effect on the person? Omer Abilaza de Omakro Luchu Chazu Mifalas Hashem Asher Shom Shamos Ba'oreps. Al Tikri Shamos Elo Shamos. You can see that the Shamos have an effect. Now, you might say, well, why should a name have an effect on a person's life? Why should a person's born a person and he can do what he likes with his life? Why should it have an effect? Now, I haven't managed to locate it recently, but I do recollect there's an Or HaChaim somewhere in Chumash which talks about it's not the name creates your midas. You're born with midas which come from your parents, which come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shlosha Shutrim V'Adam. However, the name does have some effect in that those midas which you have got can be affected by it. So a person, for example, who is by nature a stubborn or a cruel, by nature he's got this tichunas hanefesh that he's not quite amenable to chesed, etc., he's more cruel, then the name can have some sort of effect on him. We see that, for example, with David and Esav. They both were born with the same type of midas. They were both strong, maybe even obstinate people. They were forceful people. Yet we see that Esav used it for murder and for thuggery and for everything, whereas David HaMelech, he used it to serve Hashem. He used his strength of character to fight Goliath, to become the Melech of Klal Yisrael, and to do all sorts of chesed, to wake up in the middle of the night to learn Torah because he had this strong power of strength. Whereas Esau was the other way around. And the point is that not that the name caused the whole thing. Obviously, the person himself must work on himself. But is the fact the name seems to have some sort of effect. So Esau's name, which is Osir, a fertikazach, in other words, I'm so to speak, a finished person, I'm perfect, that's what in the wrong sort of way, became, was Esau. Whereas David HaMelech, his name is Dod, the beloved of Hashem, etc. The name could somehow or other have had some sort of effect on how they behave. It's obviously very, very beyond our comprehension how this can work, because as we're talking of spiritual matters. But there's no doubt about it, the name has some sort of effect on the human being, and therefore it's very important to choose the right name. And the Gemara gives us the rule that Rishem, Rishoim, Yirkov, you must not choose a bad name. There's also the very famous story in Yuma about where Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi went to visit a town, and the innkeeper's name was Kidor. His name was Kidor. And so Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, they deposited their valuables with the innkeeper. After all, he's an innkeeper. There must have been an Irgun, an organization of innkeepers. You know, you can't sort of run off with your guest's property. They thought it would be safe. Rabbi Meir refused. Rabbi Meir did not give it to him. He put it somewhere in the Basic Forest somewhere. He found a hidden place to put his valuables. After Shabbos, they came to get their stuff back, and he wouldn't give it to them. He said, oh, you didn't give me any stuff. I'm not holding any of your stuff. And they didn't know what to do. So they looked at Rabbi Meir and said, Rabbi Meir, how did you know that this guy was a crook? How could you tell? He said, well, Rabbi Meir Dayek Bishmo. His name was Kidor. And the Pasuk says in Chumash, Kidor Tapuches Hemo. They are a very perverse people. If he's got a name Kidor, that means I didn't trust him an inch. And the Gemara goes on to a very, very fascinating Gemara, how they got their money back. It's a very, very beautiful Gemara as to how they asked Rabbi Meir, look, you were so clever that you knew this and you're able to protect your money. Can you get my money back for us? And Rabbi Meir gave them an etzah, and he managed to trick Kidor and they got their money back in the end. But the point for us is that the name is very, very important. And the Gemara is telling us a bad name is not acceptable. So then that leads us to other questions. If a person is called Nimrod or Bilam or whatever they think, and the person does teshuva, what do you do next? Can you imagine a person becoming into shul from a front person being called up as Nimrod Ben Bilam or whatever? I mean, you know, you're something. the gamma wouldn't know where to put himself. So the person wants to change his name, but that name's been given to him. What do you do about that? So there are various aids. Some suggest that you can just change the name, since he should never have been given that name in the first place. It was a name for Taurus, a name which was completely wrong. Therefore, there's no reason why you shouldn't just change the name completely. There are others which suggest you should have two names, add a name, leave the name which was given, whatever it was, especially if the person was called after somebody. But what do you do if the grandfather was Nimrod and you want to call your child? What do you do then? Well, obviously, no one's going to do that. I'm giving the extreme version. But nonetheless, it is possible to what's called be mashatef a name, to put another name, to have two names. In this context, there is a most beautiful story of Rabbi Chaim Shmuel Lapin, Zichron Levroch, whom I knew personally. He was the Rosh Hashiva in Sunderland, and he went off to Eretz Yisrael. Apparently, the story goes that Rabbi Eliezer Lapin, who is the father of all the famous Rabbi Leibs, his first child was called Shmuel, and he died as a young child. So what do you do when you've got another child? You can't call the child the same thing as the person who's died, because we're not talking of Shem Shom Yirkov, we're talking now of Rea Mazle. That's another rule. You don't call somebody after someone who's had a disastrous death or had a very, very bad mazel. So what do you do if the first child died young and you want to call the second child after him? What do you do then? You want to have the name. So then the minhag was to call the name but have another name with it. So what happened then in the case of Rabbi Eliezer? He called the second child Shmuel Chaim. Not Shmuel, but Shmuel Chaim, because he wanted to say he should stay alive, like Chaim. Unfortunately, the second child also passed away. Can you imagine? Two children passed away. What do you do when the third one comes along? Then, Rabbi Eliezer apparently found out in the writings of the Gro, he'd heard in Hashem Vilna Gaon, that when you have another name to put on, you must put the other name first, not second. And he'd called the second child Shmuel Chaim. He realized he'd got it wrong. He should have called him the new name first. Therefore, he actually called the third child Chaim Shmuel. Can you imagine the emunah of such a person? We know he was a godel in Midas and Amunah, but because he found that the Gaon said that it should be written Chaim Shmuel rather than the other way around, and that he'd got it wrong, he put the reason why my child died was because I got it wrong and I didn't do it the right way. It shows the gadlus of the mensch. I don't know whether many of us could, after two children, would be able to call the third one after the first two like that. But that's a maaser which is quoted. Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky quotes that in his Sefer Shemus Ba'aretz. He's got a sefer setting out all the a lot of rules in his inimitable style. So we see that it is quite important to get the story right, if you can. And that's where many people go to ask a shayla before they choose. But did you have it to myself? My first boy passed away in a car accident when he was in his 20s in Yerushalayim. The car went over the road and it crashed there, and he passed away. He left two girls, beautifully brought up now by my former daughter-in-law. And then, a year or two ago, the first daughter got married, and they, Baruch Hashem, they had a son. What should they call that son? I said, I'm not interfering, I'm not going to get the worst thing a parent can do is to start putting his oar in and saying, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. I said, I'm not even going to talk about it. And if they ask me, I'll give them an etzer and what they should do, and the etzer was, don't ask a godel. That was the etzer. I'm not going to get involved in this because it's too close to home, etc. They actually asked, I think one asked Rab Chaim, got the message of Rab Chaim Kanievsky, and the other one asked Rab Matisyahu Solomon as to what to do. As always, the psukim weren't identical. Then you have a problem, which psak do you choose? But basically, the answer from Rab Chaim Kanievsky went like this. He said, look, in a case of a person who's died young or has had an accident, you don't normally choose that name because it's Yireya Mazlit. However, if it's a question of Kibud Av, then of course you call it after the father, and you can keep the same name. You don't have to change in any way. Why? And he says, he didn't say this, but I actually saw it later in the Sefer. He said, it comes like this. The Kibud Av, which you do, will be matzil from any problem. Because the mitzvah Kibud Av clearly overrides the problem of the name. That's one answer. And the second answer is what you just said there. Because the Pasuk itself tells you that if you do keep it up, you have your man yarich v'n yomecho, then that itself is matzil from any problem that might arise. Therefore, call him the same name. The other psak was, call him, maybe put an extra name in with it. That's always an eitzah, you put two names in, that's an eitzah. Or possibly give him the name, but call him by the other name. No, he was called Uri Ephraim, and he was called Uri. So they're calling him Uri Ephraim, and they're calling him Ephraim. These sort of psakim. As far as I'm concerned, Chaim Kanievsky's psak was good enough for me, and that's how he was. That was the name he was called. But that also leads to another question: this business of putting two names together, what does that mean? Does that mean the boy has got one name with two names with it, or does that mean he's got two separate names? Which is it? Now, this comes to another machlokes. According to the Chazon Ish, if the father was called David, and the father of the mother was called, let's say, Labish, and you want to call him David Labish, he says you've called him after nobody. Because David is the one name, Labish is the other name, David Labish is somebody else. So according to the Chazon Ish, as I understand it, if you call somebody David Labish, you've called him after nobody. Whereas others say, no, you've called him after both. There's no doubt about it that by using a second name, you are, to some extent, being mazkir the two. So there's an inyan in that. But now, where is there an afkamina, lehalocha? When I say lehalocha, le'or leminhag, many of us say a posuk at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. And in the posuk at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, you mention your name, beremes, in the first and last letters. So, for example, my name is Yosef. I say, Meshem, Yigmar, Abad, Hashem, etc. And it starts with a yud, and it finishes off with a pei. Right? That's Yosef. But I've also got another name, Yitzchak. So what do? I say another posuk for Yitzchak. One for Yosef, and one for Yitzchak. That's my minhag to demand Shemoneh Esrei. I've got two names, so I have two psukim. Others say, wrong. Not in Yosef Yitzchak, you'll see why in a second. But it's wrong in as much as that it's one name. Yosef Yitzchak is one name. And therefore, I shouldn't say a posuk for Yosef and a posuk for Yitzchak. I should just say a posuk for Yosef Yitzchak. Because the yud at the beginning and the kuf at the end. According to the Chazon Ish, you'd only say one posuk, and that would be the posuk which starts with the first name and ends with the second. It's like one long name. In my case, it's not much of a problem because Yitzchak also starts with a yud, so I've got a kuf, which either way, I've got no problem. On the other hand, do I say two psukim? Do I say two psukim or one posuk? It could be should only be saying one posuk for Yitzchak. But all right, I say an extra posuk. But some people would say three psukim, one for Yosef. You can't get one, and one for Yitzchak, but. I say Yosef, it doesn't fit. But if it was named, let's say Yosef David. Yud, one for. Well, you have Yud Pei, Dalet Dalet, and Yud Dalet. So you'd have three different psukim. I'm not sure that anybody does that, but it is mentioned that could be enough gemin as to whether it's one name or two names. So you've got to be careful when you choose the name to find out whether or not you can put two names together and under what circumstances. Very often, where there is a problem, a minor problem in the name, so people just put a second name on to make sure that they make a remiss to the person. So, for example, if there's another Shiloh, what happens if a Godel dies and you want to call that person after the Godel? There are people who are very, very close to a Godel and he just passed away, and you've got a parent. Well, the posher thing is obviously a parent should come first. But there was one case where the mother was very, very insistent that they wanted to call the child after this Godel because they were very close to it. So they went to for a Shiloh, and the answer came back, look, you've got to call it after your parent because that comes first. You want to call it after the Godel, so put both names, or put some sort of remiss to the other one. You can do that as well. That is possible. But anyhow, we can't finish the whole story. I've written here a list of questions which we can I'll read out very quickly. The questions are, for example, can you call after a parent who's still alive? Well, that's between the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim have a different minhag. The question I just asked just now, does a teacher have precedence over a parent? Or a grandparent, I should say, which comes first? If you've got a mamzer, what do you do? What do you call that? That's a major problem. Why do we call people after animals? Where do the animals come from? You've got dove bear. We've got that dove bear is actually a very, very interesting question, because we know that the Shvotim are called after all sorts of animals. You've got Aryeh, you've got Shor, after Yosef, you've got Zev. And you've got even got Zvi, Ayala. The one animal you haven't got is a bear, dove bear. You haven't got an animal. There's a reason for that. Dove shackled, because a bear can be a very, very cantankerous animal. It's a very fierce animal, and there was a reason why none of the Shvatim were called after a bear. Yet, we find dove bear. It comes all the time. I'm not sure where that originated from and why it came, but there's no doubt about it. My son-in-law's called Dove, he's a nice chap. but I'm still trying to find out where the makor came from. Right, so that's a minigun Yisroel. Do you call a child after an older brother who has passed away? We just discussed that in the case of Rabbi Eliezer Oplin. Or there's a minute to call him Ben Sion. That's also Morcha Ben Sion. Sometimes they do both. That's quite a normal minute. Then the whole subject of double and triple. Sorry? Ben Sion, because that's a minute to call a if a child died, the next one is often called Ben Sion. Because it's to do how it came about, I don't know. It is mentioned though. Then the subject of double and treble names. What happens if you've got an English name? You've got an English name here. Should I be called Joseph or Yosef? Now we have Yitzhak Isaac and we have Dov Bear. So the question is: is there any point in this inyan of an English name? Which is derived from the Shem Kodesh. And so girls' names and boys' names, for example, if the mother was called Dino, is there any point in calling the child Don? Or is that completely a waste of time? Is there any point in choosing a similar name, like Daniela? If somebody, the girl wants to be called after the father was Daniel or something. Is there any point in that whatsoever? Or is it just a waste of time? That's a Shaila. And so on. Adopted children have their own problems. A child who's a umatz, it's called adopted child. What do you do in that case? There's a whole list of shilas which I've just written down. We haven't got time now. Let me finish off, however, with one. I've written down here some notes. For example, why do we call people after the Meraglim? I know there's a gentleman who is a Kohen who's called Palti Ben Rofu. And the question is, the Meraglim, how can we use them if they were wicked? So some say a wicked person is only a person who's wicked all his life. If a person did one Avera, you can't classify him as a Rosh. Basically, they were tzaddikim, and did one thing wrong in their life. So therefore, there's nothing wrong in calling after the Meraglim. Not what some say. Very, very briefly, you don't normally call after Goyim, etc., but there's one exception, which is Alexander. Sorry? Yes, you've got Rabbi Nepet, that's right. There are cases. And the question then is, to what extent can we call them after Goyim? Is HaKoras HaTov enough? For example, if a non-Jew hid a Jewish person during the war and saved his life, is it right for that person whose life was saved by that Goy to call the child after the Goy? He wants to give that God's atop. Like anything, there's always an argument where some say yes, some say no. But one of the proofs they want to bring is from Alexander the Great. Shimon HaTzadik had HaKoras HaTov to Alexander the Great, and he called him. That's not a proof, because although the Gemara tells us the story, it says also in that case it was a bit more, it was Kuach Nefesh, because Alexander would have killed the Jews for having done what they did, and unless Shimon HaTzadik found some way of rewarding him. So there was an Inyan of HaKoras HaTov because he was very, very good to the Jews, but there was also an Inyan of Pekuach Nefesh, so there's no Raya from there. However, there's a...
Sorry? Why did the next generation continue?
Oh, but no, because he promised, once you've given your promise, you can't change. He promised that Alexander's name would be perpetuated better than putting a marble statue, which will be destroyed by the next king. He said, no, your name will be kept even in 5,775, people will still be called Alexander, your name will be perpetuated. However, what the brilliant thing here is, in the Gemara you don't find a Rabbi Alexander, it's always Rabbi Alexandri. And now, in Greek it's Alexandros, in English it's Alexander, but in the Gemara it's Alexandri, and that's unusual. And the Yabbat points out that if you take the gematria of Alexandri, it's the same as Shlomo. And so they slightly change the name, so it should be the same name, but slightly different, with the connotation of Shlomo HaMelech. It's 375 Alexandri. And that's why the Rabbi Alexandri in the Gemara is not Rabbi Alexander, in order to show in a clever way, which the Goyim would not understand, that although we're calling him after you, we're making a Jewish connotation to the name.
We
don't know where they came from, you mean? Yeah, okay, we don't know what the...
Well,
they got the same Yiddish names, etc. Yeah. This is all part of the discussion. We're over time now, so we'll have to stop. But that's the subject will go on forever.